Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Live in the Day with Jay. Guys, we got a great show for you today. We are going to be talking a little bit about what's going on with the movie Selma. And hopefully we'll be able to play a clip from that. I don't know yet, but I'm trying to work that out. We're going to talk about the idiots at Fox News and what they have to say about Muslims in America. Absolutely idiotic. Before I say this, let me say, I don't know for sure that it was Fox, but I know that they had something to do with it. You guys cannot miss what I'm going to expose you to today. Number to call 347-945-7405. Also, talk about Bobby Hemmings. I don't know if you guys know who that is, but we're going to talk a little bit about him. And I am
everybody works out of their own bag. Can you understand that? I can understand. Go ahead and sing.
Understand it.
I can understand.
I can deal without the heat. trying to get this cake up. That's what I'm doing, every move I'm making, I'm improving. Tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing, no telling what I'm doing.
Trying to get this cake up.
That's what I'm doing, every move I'm making, I'm improving. Tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing, no telling what I'm doing.
I'm getting mine, you getting line. I'm making rain dollars, all you do is drop down. That's right, I can make it rain your paycheck. For all y'all hater 4-5s on deck. With the heat on O'Neal all night. And go hard like oatmeal left out all night. And y'all can't see me like I'm 10 feet tall. In the hood you never round, kinda like a football. It can't be,
what?
You hate me?
Nah.
You should hate yourself for not being like me. The bank said my money won't fit, so that means I go ahead and withdraw like crack fiends.
I'm trying to get this cake up. That's what I'm doing, every move I'm making, I'm improving. But tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing, no telling what I'm doing.
Trying to get this
cake up. That's what I'm doing, every move I'm making, I'm improving. But tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing.
For show, and you an actor, you just for shows. Beat you with squeeze lemonades, and when I pull the pin, I blow up just like grenades. My money's so long, even I'm amazed. I gotta tell the Lincoln, so out of long face. So fly, if I feel I still be in the sky. I'm a Big Mac, you a small fry. I make pesos, pounds, forget it. I might have went over your head, it's like a fitted. I'm in that big Chevy thing, taking up 2 lanes. So fly, you might as well call it a Chevy airplane.
Get this cake up, that's what I'm doing. Every move I'm making, I'm improving. Cause tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing. No telling what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing, every move I'm making, I'm improving. But tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing, no telling what I'm doing.
This ain't no playground, round here we don't play round. Out here I'm eating, never put my plate down. I'm getting money and you get lost, so you ain't even employed, so how you about? Doing my thing, don't care what it costs. I'm ballin', play me and you'll get crossed. And you a vegetarian, you can't stand beef. And you like blind people, you ain't never in the street. No, I'm hot and you, well, hell. You make it rain, I'm iced out, I make it hell.
Right.
I run this dog, all you do is sprint. You a snitch, the neck, the tail, like sprint.
Tryna get this cake up. That's what I'm doing, every move I'm making, I'm improving. Cause tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing, no telling what I'm doing.
Trying to get this
cake up. That's what I'm doing, every move I'm making, I'm improving. Cause tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing, no telling what I'm doing.
Tune in weekdays at 5 o'clock p.m. to Live in the Day with Jay on blogtalkradio.com. You can listen or call in by dialing 347-945-7405. Again, that's 347-945-7405. And that's the voice of the community. So tune in to Live in the Day with Jay on blogtalkradio.com. And now, back to the show.
You are now listening to Live in the Day with Jay. Now go get him, Daddy!
DJ.
Number to call, 347-945-7405. That number again is 347-945-7405. Guys, welcome back to the show. First, we need to talk a little bit about the upcoming holiday, Dr. King holiday. We need to talk about the impact that Dr. King's holiday or Dr. King's legacy has on the black community. It's a profound legacy, but it's not being taken in the context that it's supposed to be taken in. There's lots of things going on right now that should not be going on in the black community, guys. And I tell you what, it seems like nothing's being taken serious in the black community. And before we can, in the black community that is, extend our hands out and want to reach out to other cultures, other races, we got to be at peace with each other. We got to know how to accept one another. We're not doing that right now. I'm going to play a clip. And it's a clip when Dr. King went and spoke at Montreat College in North Carolina. And I want you guys to listen to the content of what he stated. And I want you to tell me, after listening to this clip, if we're doing the March on Washington, if we're doing the letter from Birmingham Jail, if we're doing the Montgomery boycott, if we're doing all these instances, justice, and if we're not, why? Why are we not? And what will it take for us to make this what it should be? Dr. King wanted nonviolent, peaceful unity. That's what I want. That's what you should want. But are we really taking the steps to achieve that? Here's the clip of Dr. King at Montreat College.
Our power will lie in picking up the weapons of love and nonviolence and taking our bare bodies and our souls and mobilizing them into a powerful mass movement that will bring attention to the issue and that will so create the kind of creative tension that no community can ignore it. And I think that this, as we go on in the days ahead, can guide us into a brighter tomorrow. And so somehow we must be able to say to our most violent opponents, we will not in any way hate you. We will match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We will meet your physical force with soul force. Do to us what you will, and we will still love you. We cannot in all good conscience obey your unjust laws, because non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. And so throw us in jail and we will still love you. Threaten our children and bomb our homes and we will still love you. Send your hooded perpetrators of violence into our communities after midnight hours and drag us out on some wayside road and beat us and leave us half dead and even kill us. And as hard as it is, we will still love you. Send your propaganda agents around the country and make it appear that we are not fit morally or culturally for integration, and we will still love you. But be ye assured that we will wear you down by our capacity to suffer. One day we will win our freedom. We will not only win freedom for ourselves, we will so appeal to your heart and your conscience that we will win you in the process. And our victory will be a double victory. This is it. This is the love that I like to talk about. I'm not talking about a weak love here. I'm not talking about emotional gush. I'm not talking about some affectionate emotion even. It's something much deeper than that. The Greek language comes to our aid as we try to understand the meaning of love in this context. There are three words in the Greek language for love. That is the word eros. Eros is a sort of aesthetic love, a sort of yearning of the soul for the realm of the divine. Plato talks about it a great deal in his dialogue. It has come to us to be a sort of romantic love, and in this sense we all know about eros. We've read about it in all of the beauties of literature and experienced it. In a sense, Edgar Allan Poe was talking about eros when he talked about his beautiful Annabel Lee, with the love surrounded by the halo of eternity. In a sense, Shakespeare was talking about some form of eros when he said, love is not love which alters when it alteration finds or bends with a remover to remove. It is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempest and is never shaken. It is a star to every wandering bark. You know, I can remember that. I'm about to lose my voice because I used to quote that to my wife when we were courting. That's eros. The Greek language talks also about philia. Philia, which is another level of love, and this is a beautiful love, but a reciprocal love. On this level, you love because you are love. You love the people that you like. This is friendship. This is a great and profound and meaningful love, but the Greek language comes out with the word agape. And agape is more than eros or philia. Agape is more than romantic, aesthetic, friendship, that kind of love. It's more than that. Agape is understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill for all men. It is a creative love, an overflowing love, a spontaneous love that seeks nothing in return. Theologians would say that it is the love of God operating in the human heart. When one rises to love on this level, he loves every man, not because he likes him, not because his ways appeal to him, but because God loves him. And he rises to the position of being able to love the person who does the evil deed while hating the deed that the person does. And I think this is what Jesus meant when he said, love your enemies. And I'm so happy he didn't say like your enemies, because it's kind of difficult to like some people. I think it would be difficult for Negroes in Selma, Alabama to like Mr. Jim Clark, or for Negroes in Birmingham in 1963 to like Mr. Bull Connor. But Jesus said love them. And love is greater than like. Love is understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill for all men. And it helps you to understand even Mr. Connor and even Mr. Clark, because you come to see that they were taught that way. They lived in a culture that surrounded them with those attitudes, and even sometimes that churches supported them in their convictions. And so while you can't like what they are doing and their attitudes, you begin to love them as persons. And as you march against them, as you stand up with all of your might against the unjust system, your ultimate purpose is even to redeem them and to bring about the beloved community. These are some of the things before. As we face the frontier of racial tension, let me say, my friends, as I come to my conclusion, that if this problem is to be solved in our country today, there must be a sort of divine discontent. It isn't going to work itself out. But enough people must rise up and be a part of that creative minority. And we say, I'm going to take a stand in spite of. There are certain words within every academic discipline that soon become stereotypes and cliches. Every academic discipline has its technical nomenclature. Modern psychology has a word that's probably used more than any other word in psychology. It is the word maladjusted. Now, certainly we all want to live the well-adjusted life in order to avoid the neurotic and schizophrenic personality. But I must honestly say to you, and I hope you will understand, that there are some things in our nation and in our society to which I'm proud to be maladjusted, which I hope all men of goodwill will be maladjusted until the good society is realized. I must honestly say to you that I never intend to adjust myself to segregation and discrimination. I must honestly say to you that I never intend to become adjusted to religious bigotry. I must say to you that I never intend to adjust myself to economic conditions That will take necessity from the many to give luxuries to the few. I must honestly say that I never intend to adjust myself to the madness of militarism and the self-defeating effects of physical violence. But when a day when man-made vehicles are dashing through outer space and guided ballistic missiles are carving highways of death through the stratosphere, no nation can win a war. It is no longer the choice between violence and nonviolence. It is either nonviolence or non-existence. And the alternative to disarmament, the alternative to a greater suspension of nuclear tests, the alternative to a negotiated settlement of the crisis in Vietnam, the alternative to strengthening the United Nations and thereby disarming the whole world, may well be a civilization plunged into the abyss of annihilation, and our earthly habitat will be transformed into an inferno that even the mind of Dante could not envision. It may well be that our world today is in desperate need of a new organization, the International Association for the Advancement of Creative Maladjustment. Men and women who will be as maladjusted as the prophet Amos, who in the midst of the injustices of his day will cry out in words that echo across the centuries, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream, as maladjusted as Abraham Lincoln, who had the vision to see that this nation could not survive half slave and half free, as maladjusted as Thomas Jefferson, who in the midst of an age amazingly adjusted to slavery, could scratch across the pages of history words lifted to cosmic proportions. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As maladjusted as our Lord and Christ, we could say to the men and women around Galilee, he who lives by the sword will perish by the sword. Through such maladjustment, we will be able to emerge from the bleak and desolate midnight of man's inhumanity to man into the bright and glittering daybreak of freedom and justice. And let us continue to have faith in the future. I give to you my personal faith now. I know that the days ahead are difficult. We still have some dark, difficult, and agonizing moments. But I still have faith in America. I love this nation. And I believe that we are developing a coalition of conscience that will, in the not-too-distant future, solve this problem. I believe it to the bottom of my heart. Before the victory's won, some more will get scarred up a bit. Before the victory's won, some more of us will be thrown into crowded and frustrating jail cells. Before the victory's won, some more will lose jobs. Before the victory's won, some will be called bad names. False rumors will be spread about them. Some will be called communists and red simply because they believe in the brotherhood of man. For the victors won, some like Mrs. Viola Luce or Reverend James Reed, Jimmie Lee Jackson, Medgar Evers, and many others may have to face physical death. The physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent death of the spirit. Then nothing can be more redemptive. And so today I can sing louder than ever before, we shall overcome. I have a reason for singing it less this way. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future, and behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mounting of despair a stone of hope, With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to speed up the day when the words of prophecy will become real. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This will be a great day. It will not be the day of the white man. It will not be the day of the black man. It will be the day of man as man. And this will be the day when all over this great nation, all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Catholics and
very, very interesting. If you didn't receive any of that, then I think something is seriously wrong with the way you perceive. We definitely need to get on board with what's going on. Number to call is 347-945-7405. And number is
get up.
Get up.
Dodge again and again and again.
Are you tired of that stubborn belly fat? Would you like to lose weight and change the way you live? Well, look no more. Contact health consultants Mr. Ernest and Ms. Tandra Owens at 980-245-6294 to take the Project 10 Challenge. That's 980-245-6294 to get your body back in shape. Again, that's 980-245-6294. Or to get more details, go to www.crunchtime.bodybyvi.com.
Excuse me, I think you're the father of one of my kids.
Oh, Cancun, spring break 99.
What?
No?
No.
Oh.
Oops, someone forgot to boost.
Excuse me, I think you're the father of one of my kids.
Oh, my daughter's in your art class.
Sister Mary Catherine.
Yes.
Minute Maid enhanced with a 5-nutrient boost. Put good in, get good out.
Something is happening in our world.
Criminals, factories, illiterate, uneducated,
people are rising
whatever
up.
Other negative characteristics you can think of, and
whether they are in Johannesburg, South Africa,
and giving me a desire to reform myself,
Nairobi, Kenya, Prague, Ghana, New York City, Atlanta, Georgia, Jackson, Mississippi, or Memphis, Tennessee, the cry is always the same. We want to be free.
The teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad immediately did instill within me such a high degree of racial pride and racial dignity that I wanted to be somebody, and I realized that I couldn't be anybody by begging the white man for what he had, but that I had to get out here and try and do something for myself or make something out of myself.
Welcome back to the show. Number to call is 347-945-7405. Guys, I want you to take a look at how we are doing everything in our communities right now, from educating our children to coveting our relationships to making new relationships to helping one another to looking for a better outlook for our young people. I want you to look real closely at how we treat each other. Now, coming up next week, we got Dr. King's holiday. And we will have millions of people stay home, celebrate Dr. King's holiday. But I can almost promise you that there are some that are not going to really embellish what Dr. King stood for. Now, don't get me wrong. Dr. King had his faults also. He's not a saint. I'm not painting him to be a saint. I'm not saying that he was perfect. But what I am saying is his approach to unity, peace, and love, family, God, is something that we really need to look at. You guys not understand that having the complete or the completeness of family is a foundation for nothing but success. You guys not understand. I'm going to go off to the left a little bit. And this is why I'm going to have Bobby Hemmick on this show, hopefully this week. But this is why I want to have him on the show, because he understands and he breaks down the element of energy. I don't know if you believe like I believe, but I believe in negative and positive energy. And the two doesn't mix. The two will not mix. If you are in a situation to where your negative energy has overtaken you to make you say something that you normally don't say to someone, to make you react like you normally don't react. If you don't change that negative flow of energy, it will continue to make you do reckless things. So ultimately, you're going to ruin yourself and everyone around you. Now, reason I say this, getting back to Dr. King. Dr. King understood positive energy. If you did not hear the clip just a second ago, I really will ask you to go back and listen to Show on Demand for free. It's for free. Because Dr. King talked about the love that Jesus has. Dr. King stated that Jesus did not tell you that you need to like that person that's doing bad things against you. He told you that Jesus stated you need to love that person. Now, in saying that, how many of you have experienced doing something really, really good for someone that really didn't deserve it? And a couple of days later, sometimes it could be a couple of hours, a couple of minutes, something extraordinary happened to you. That's positive energy. I'm telling y'all, positive energy and negative energy are real. Just like you got people who says karma is real, karma is real. But positive energy and negative energy are also real. And this is what we have to start realizing that we need to grasp onto as a family, as a community, as a town, as a nation. We need to start grasping onto this. We need to start teaching our young people who inadvertently right now practice positive and negative energy every day, but they don't know it. I've seen some pass on the most positive energy, and I put myself within that realm so I can get that positive energy. But you always have that group of people or that person, and sometimes yourself, that can bring about a negativity and have no idea what this negative energy is doing to you and them, but continues to dwell in it. Guys, I'm telling you that this year, 2015, is going to be a very, very good, positive year for me and my family. I'm going to make it that way. Yes, there are negative influences around us right now, but I choose not to succumb to the negativity. I choose to focus more on the positive level. And this is what we got to do. This is what we have to do if we want to be successful, if we want to make sure that what we are doing is not a waste of time for our young people. This is what we got to do. Number to call is 347-945-7405. And number again is 347-945-7405. We come back, I'm going to play another clip just to show you the difference, the contrasting difference between negative energy and positive energy. You guys are definitely live in the day with Jay.
All night and go until the morning sun. up, world? You already know who it is. It's the big homie Ambush, a.k.a. the Southern Secret. And you are now live in the day with the brother Jay, blogtalkradio.com, Green Light Inc. It's a go. It's official like a referee with a whistle. Let's get it, man.
Yeah, they better. I'm focused, I'm hoping to motivate you to do better in life.
Do better in life.
I remember that time I was out on my own, couldn't keep on my life.
I couldn't keep on my life.
I sit back and laugh, it's ironic how now that my tongue got the power.
My tongue got the power.
I sit back and lean on full from all of these beasts I devour.
Yeah.
Know how when I'm chasing my dreams, gotta jump for these cowards who shooting instead of hands up. Industry nervous, I got them all shook. They're afraid of my punchlines after my hook hook. We gotta get rid of metaphors. Why? He make us think too much.
What?
We gotta keep him out. If we let him in, then we can't say a bunch of dumb stuff.
Yeah.
We can't tell a bunch of lies.
Nope.
Can't rely on a hot beat. My homie Dole Ray taught me to flame on. I got three rappers in the hot
flame
seat.
On.
I'm telling my story, I'm giving it to you from my point of view. And I'm reaching the people that film the proof. Exercising your lyrics, you stretching the truth. I'ma do what I came for. I'm giving the game hope. I got prison bars. I'm spitting fed time. All these indictments, they saying I'm dope.
I'm dope.
I'm underground like the basement.
Yeah.
Somebody called Tigger, told them all I'ma make it. Drake said it best. I ain't trying to look like a lie to these niggas.
Nope.
I can't give up now.
I done came too far.
They don't wanna see me shine.
I can't help it, I'm a star.
I got tired of being broke. It ain't a good feeling. No thing I dream about to go and get it.
Just watch it, witness.
I got my shades on, I'm focused. My shades on, I'm focused.
Yeah.
If I see another time clock, might get mad and then punch it for real.
Punch it for real.
They killing each other, I'm killing these beats. Why can I get a deal?
Why can I get a deal?
Tell me how is it not adding up, but it's clear that I'm bringing some change.
I'm bringing some change.
Not once in a song did I mention a car, some clothes, or a
nope.
chain. Let me mention some relatives strung out on drugs. That's why when he died, he was drunk and gave up. No one knew his pain, everyone had opinions. Survived by his daughter. I cried as I witnessed.
I cried.
His mama ain't been right since.
Nope.
Can you imagine the pain that was the only child? It's kinda hard to stay sane. Put yourself in her shoes, but the size ain't the same.
But the size ain't the same.
Yeah.
I just speak on real life when I speak on this mic.
Yeah.
I done came too far that you turn at the light.
Yeah.
I dreamed big and then captured it. Times got rough and I didn't have chapstick. Life is a and she ain't attractive.
Nah.
I'm defeating the odds.
I was destined to win.
I stepped up my grind.
When I cut off some friends.
I'm as real as it get.
I go harder than pavement.
I just wanna wake up one morning and tell my whole family we made.
I can't give up now. I done came too far.
You are now listening to Lively Day with Jay. Now go get him, Daddy.
Welcome back to the show. Number to call is 347-945-7405. That number again is 347-945-7405. Before the break, we had talked a little bit about positive energy and negative energy. And I told you I was going to show you a contrasting difference in positive energy and negative energy. For those of you, first of all, let me say welcome back, Chicago and Philly. God, thank you for playing the show. And Bakersfield, California. I can't believe I forgot Bakersfield, California. You guys, thank you for continuing to support the show. It means a whole lot. We're trying to get this show to the next level, and I think we're almost there. But with support from different major cities like you guys, I think we're going to get there sooner than I'm realizing. But anyhow, when we're talking about Chicago, listen to me. We were talking about positive energy and negative energy. Chicago, you must be on my mind. And I told you that there was a contrasting difference. The clip that I played before the break was Dr. King at Moncrief College. And he spoke about how we should love one another, how we should continue to love one another, even our enemies, as we were instructed to do. We were instructed to like and tolerate. And listen to those two words, like and tolerate. Those are words that are widely used right now when it comes to different ethnic groups of people. We're supposed to like them and tolerate them. And yet still we say we are a God-fearing country. And God commanded us to love them, not like them, love them. But that's part of that positive flow that Dr. King continued to keep around him. That's why the negativity that turmoil his people and constantly come to him, he would not let it penetrate because of his positive flow. Now, I'm going to play a clip. It has a little music to it, so you guys got to forgive me for that. But I'm going to play a clip, and it's a clip titled, If I Sneeze. And I know a lot of you might have heard this little five-minute clip that Dr. King spoke about after the incident happened. I don't want to give too much away before I play the clip. But I want you to listen to the clip. It's hard to not listen to the music, but I want you to focus in on what he's stating. And this is a perfect example of negative energy, especially within the black community. So here's the clip, Dr. King, If I Have Sneezed.
And I want to thank God once more for allowing me to be here with you. You know, several years ago, I was in New York City autographing the first book that I had written. And while sitting there autographing books, a demented black woman came up. The only question I heard from her was, "Are you Martin Luther King?" And I was looking down writing, and I said, "Yes." And the next minute, I felt something beating on my chest. Before I knew it, I had been stabbed by this demented woman. I was rushed to Harlem Hospital. It was a dark Saturday afternoon. That blade had gone through, and the x-rays revealed that the tip of the blade was on the edge of my aorta, the main artery. And once that's punctured, you're drowned in your own blood. That's the end of you. It came out in the New York Times the next morning that if I had merely sneezed, I would have died. Well, about 4 days later, they allowed me, after the operation, after my chest had been opened and the blade had been taken out, to move around in the wheelchair in the hospital. They allowed me to read some of the mail that came in, and from all over the states and the world, kind letters came in. I read a few, but one of them I will never forget. I had received one from the president and the vice president. I've forgotten what those telegrams said. I'd received a visit and a letter from the governor of New York, but I've forgotten what that letter said. But there was another letter that came from a little girl, a young girl, who was a student at the White Plains High School. And I looked at that letter, and I'll never forget it. It said simply, "Dear Dr. King, I am a ninth grade student at the White Plains High School." She said, "While it should not matter, I would like to mention that I'm a white girl. I read in the paper of your misfortune and of your suffering. And I read that if you had sneezed, you would have died. I'm simply writing you to say that I'm so happy that you didn't sneeze. And I want to say tonight, I want to say tonight that I too am happy that I didn't sneeze, because if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1960. When students all over the South started sitting in at lunch counters. And I knew that as they were sitting in, they were really standing up for the best in the American dream, and taking the whole nation back to those great wells of democracy which were dug deep by the founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1961 when we decided to take a ride for freedom and ended segregation in interstate travel. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1962 when Negroes in Albany, Georgia decided to straighten their backs up. And whenever men and women straighten their backs up, they are going somewhere, because a man can't ride your back unless it is bent. If I had sneezed, if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been here in 1963. Black people, Birmingham, Alabama, aroused the conscience of this nation, brought into being the Civil Rights Bill. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have had a chance later that year in August to try to tell America about a dream that I had had. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been down in Selma, Alabama, to see the great movement there. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been in Memphis to see a community rally around those brothers and sisters who are suffering. I'm so happy that I didn't sneeze.
I'm happy you didn't sneeze either. But if you can take that clip, and I told you it was going to give you the perfect example of negative and positive energy. When that clip first come on, the negative energy of a black woman, I didn't say white, I said a black woman, who had the audacity to step up to Dr. King and stab him. Mind you now, this man is going all over the nation, getting thrown in jail, getting dogs put on him, having cans and bottles thrown at him repeatedly, being called the N-word. And why is he doing this? He's doing this so that black woman that put the knife in his chest can walk down the street peacefully in Jim Crow era, would get a chance to go vote, would not have to sit in separate areas in restaurants and buses and wherever the case may be out in public. And her gratitude was to stab him. Negative energy is in the black community. And then she shows you the opposite. A little white girl takes the time to write him, to tell him how much the fact that he did not sneeze meant to her. And he took that positive energy and the people he was addressing. And I don't know who put music to that. I don't know who in the crap would put the music to something like that, but, you know, it is what it is. He took the time to take that energy that she gave him, that positive energy, and put that positive energy into the hearts of the people he was speaking with. And those people received that. And when this clip was over with, there was no negative energy in that room. There was nothing but positive energy. That's how it works. That's how it works. You have to plant positive energy and let it grow. You have to continue to water it and water it and water it and let it grow. Feed it, that is. And I promise you guys, we will get this right. But as long as we are continuing, and this is not only happening in the black community, but as long as we continue to let our community go up in shambles, let our young children drop out of school at an alarming rate, let our young women get pregnant at early ages. And young boys, you have a part in that. I would have hoped so. I would assume. Continue to let our young women become young prostitutes on the street corner. Continue to let crack and all sorts of other drugs take hold of our community. Continue to let crime at an all-time high crush our community. We can no longer stand back and say it's going to be okay, because it's not. We have to make this work. And the only way we're going to be able to make this work is to make each other feel. No, I'm not going to say feel. To show each other that we are there for one another. Stop the bickering. Stop the fighting. Stop the endless, senseless killing amongst each other, and start showing that we can progress. Now, I'm not saying I have the answers to it all, because I know I don't. But what I do know is if we lay that blueprint down and we start to follow it, I can promise you we're going to be successful. It's a level of success that I don't think the average person can comprehend. We haven't felt that success yet. It's over 50 years Dr. King gave up his life, along with Mega Evans, Malcolm X, Rosa Parks, well, Rosa a little later on, Marcus Garvey, and I can go on naming people. But these people gave up their life for us to be able to live in a peaceful and harmonious society. If not outside of our community, the urban black community, then within ourselves, within our community. We can't even do that. We got to do better. We got to do better. Guys, I'm going to take the time now to thank each and every one of you for listening to the show, supporting the show. Please continue to support the show, because this is the only way we are going to get to the next level, is if you guys continue to support the show. I get the email. I see what you say in the chat room. I really appreciate it. And know, guys, that I am going to continue this show as long as you'll continue to listen. We're going to get to the next level, I promise you. I got some really, really good guests coming up in Black History Month. You guys, I'm going to surprise you with the people that we're going to have on the show. But I will promise you this, You will hear from Morgan Freeman this year during Black History Month. I know that for a fact. We will have that happen. And hopefully we will get Spike Lee and some more people to come on the show and to talk a little bit more. We will get Dick Gregory to come back on the show to talk a little bit about the progress that we need to make and the progress we need to make and the plan that needs to happen in order for us to make that progress. So I thank you guys. And I want to tell you that I love you with the greatest love that I know. And that's the love of God, because he gives it to me each and every day. And I want to say, you guys have to check out the show each and every day. We're going to have the show on each and every day. Some days they're going to be rebroadcast, and some days they're going to be live shows. But for the most part, we're going to do live shows. So as I tell you each and every show, assalamu alaikum, me and peace be unto you. You guys have definitely been live in the day with Jay.